This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Top beer. Top beer. Top beer.
Someone's personal Facebook page.
Yeah, hold on. It's this person back here. You might have came at the right time.
Got it. Perfect.
So what's the deal here?
They've only got four beers, but they look like four good beers.
Part of it's looking on Clutch Coffee. That sounds really interesting.
I was into the Guava Berliner Weiss. That sounds good.
So they have a Berliner Weiss, a pale ale, a porter, and a milk stout.
Yeah. What else do you need, right?
An IPA.
You could use an IPA. He said the IPA blew last night because they were busy. Because look at this is their brewing system. That's fucking tiny.
That's it?
Yeah, but he said they got the space next door. They bought it, or they opened it, and they put a 15-barrel system in there.
What's the startup cost for something like this size?
Probably like $100,000?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, that depends.
How much do you think each of those tanks alone costs?
Too much.
Just for the tank.
Oh, just the tank? Probably like 500. I would say those, the big tanks, probably 1,500, 1,500, 1,000. I would say 8 to 1,000 for each one of those.
That doesn't add up to 100,000. So we're still talking rent. Yeah. We're still accessories.
When I said 100,000 to open a spot like this, I meant everything. Licensing. All this shit that's out here. The glassware, the boom, 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 all that stuff. The man, the labor, all that stuff. That's what I mean. Like, from nothing to opening, I'd say 100,000.
Sure.
Yeah.
We should start a retirement brewery fund.
Yeah.
And then by the time we're both old fucks, we can just open a brewery.
Pick a place in between Los Angeles and Colorado?
Utah.
We could open up in Salt Lake City?
No. That's not between. You're thinking more of St. George.
I'm just messing around. About that part, if we were going to do it, I would want to go up north.
Like?
Yeah, like
Seattle. Northern California?
No, like Seattle.
Yeah. Oh, Seattle. Oh. I feel like Seattle's ripe with breweries, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Too many already. But, thing is, they're on the Los Angeles Brewers Guild. And I'm trying to go to every brewery.
What county are
those? I don't know.
This is an L.A. county.
No, not really. Most people wouldn't consider this L.A. Smithman? Timothy.
Timothy.
Victor, how are you?
Hey, Jim. Nice to meet you.
So, he's the owner right here, so this guy you've been trying to get a hold of.
Yeah, I apologize, guys.
I didn't really try that hard.
Yeah, but I did see it, though. My bad. It's all over the map.
Is this LA County, or what is this?
Yeah.
It is?
Oh, do you want to record?
Yeah, I'm recording now.
Are you cool?
Well, don't break it.
Do you guys want to record some questions right now?
Sort of. I mean, we just do a podcast.
It's like super.
Where we talk about beer.
Yeah. Cool. We're going to talk about this place anyways.
Cool. So yeah, did you guys want to do a podcast here?
Well, we kind of already are.
Recording whatever.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, if you set something up for a future date, I mean, we could probably get, like, the room after.
We have a few questions for you right now. I can answer them.
Yeah, let's just do basic stuff.
I asked him, how much does it cost to start up a place like this? Like, what's the...
Roundabout.
You don't have to be specific.
This and next door?
Yeah.
No, just this.
Just this.
From nothing to opening the doors.
Like, what's the net?
Okay, this without the keg washer, just this right here.
Uh-huh.
And then what you see is about...
$200,000?
Yeah. Wow.
He said 100.
Yeah. Whatever you think, it's always 2 to 3 times more. Yeah. Now, with next door, we're all in like about $1 million.
And again, not to be too specific, but like, do you take out a loan? Do you have that saved up? Like, how does that work?
Just my so we own Bread and Barley in downtown Covina. We've just been fortunate. And yeah, we have some stuff you get loans for, some stuff we have cash for. So yeah, you just put money together.
Is it worth it?
Of course. Yeah.
Seems like it.
Yeah, I mean, we're so new still. We're not really. Our big system starts brewing next week.
And so do you brew?
I don't brew. Amy Heller's our brewmaster.
Yeah.
But starting next week, if you want, Cody can poke you over there. You can see with the 15 barrel system, 430s, 215s. Then we'll start. We have a crawler machine on order, and then we'll start distributing, selling crawlers here. We'll always have 8 to 12 beers on at one time. It's just been tough because of the small system.
Yeah.
So we bought this from Bottle Logic. We bought that 4 1.5s, and that was a pilot system. And then we added the 2 3.5s in a bright tank. The reason why things cost so much, well, the system was, you know, at one price. So, you know, you could spend $20,000 on the system, but we had to do a lot of modifications to it, put a ton more money into it. Then we added the 2 3.5s. You know, those are like $5,000-$6,000 each. This was all built. What gets expensive is plumbing. There was no drains there before, so we got a sock cut plumbing. We had to run plumbing through here into the bar. Yeah. So this place was, you know, from scratch. You know, cold box, you know, electrical work, you know, everything here. This used to be an old office, so ripping carpet out.
So when you start right here, that's the Berliner Weiss, and then with guava. And then
so
here,
that's all custom made furniture.
Yeah.
We have a patio coming in that'll be in about 20 days from here all the way down.
Nice.
So yeah, it adds up. It just adds up.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it adds up a lot. So
you got 4 beers on the docket here.
Yeah, and it's changing every weekend, man. So
every
it's
weekend.
Like,
since we've opened in October, we've made about 32-33 different beers.
And this is the pale, and it looks a little hazy. Are you guys
unfiltered?
Anything?
Correct.
Yeah,
yeah. We don't. Purpose,
and I mean, you can barely.
We're not purposely hazing that beer. It's just unfiltered. Mm.
And it hasn't been. It hasn't spent a lot of time sitting in a bright tank.
No.
Yeah, because I mean, you're trying to get beer out.
Which
so.
We, well, yeah, no, because like we if we want, we like it that way, but we wouldn't rush it out.
Okay.
Our Kolsch sits in tank. A lot of people's Kolsch just sits in tank for like 2 weeks.
Right.
Ours sits in tank for a month and a half.
Okay.
So we sit on that for purposely because the Kolsch is beautiful. It's a beautiful beer. Anything she lagers, she's not going to rush. Amy's not going to rush anything.
Yeah, I guess what I mean is not necessarily that it's like. That it would affect the quality of the beer, but just the
clarity. Yeah.
Keeping it on tap.
Yeah,
it's
tough sometimes.
For
yeah,
right
sometimes,
now,
yeah.
So you're not worried about the clarity.
Yeah.
I mean, the haze craze is obviously in full effect.
Of course.
So
that's
Pale
to the King.
This is Pale to the King, which is actually fantastic.
Citra Galaxy. So when Amy and I started talking about the beers we wanted to make, Pale to the King will be one of our core beers. It's just hard to get Citra and Galaxy, but
why is that?
I just have demand, hop demand. You know, everybody's, you know, a lot of big breweries have big contracts and, you know, they take up all the hops and there's very little left for all of the small guys to get.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now with our big system, we'll be able to get on a hop contract with someone. We were big enough to do that at first.
Right.
And then you have to commit to buying so many hops and it's a lot of upfront money. So you gotta buy a lot of inventory. It's gotta kind of just kind of chill.
But we
liked pale. I felt like pale was something that the market kind of went away from. I'm not a huge session IPA fan. I thought that was better than a session IPA.
Yeah.
So that's, if someone wants a session IPA, I think that's like, you know, it's, sometimes the sessions are a little bit not watered. I don't say watered down, but they come up short for me a lot. So I felt like a good pale would be kind of what we wanted to do.
And so you said you own, what was it?
Bread and Barley in downtown Covina. It's a gastro pub, 21 handles. We get some of the, I think we have one of the best draft lists in LA County.
For sure, yeah.
We get beers that nobody gets. We do a lot of, Cody just went to San Diego to pick up beer for us from Abnormal Brewing Pure Project.
Ooh.
We pick up from a lot of breweries that don't necessarily, you know, make their way out here.
Yeah.
We've had Hill Farmstead, we've had DeGuard. I'm trying to work something out with Sante Darius right now. So we're always going after like Great Notion, trying to figure out how to get their beer down from Portland. It's like we're always asking and trying to, you know, figure out these logistical ways, which it doesn't make, I mean, a lot of people, you know, spend money to go to San Diego to pick up beer. So it's taking off your bottom line, but for us it's worth it because you get to get some really cool stuff. And we get the cool stuff from Bottle Logic, and we get a lot of good stuff, but it's all our beer buyer Travis has done a good job building relationships with all these breweries, and we always try to get, you know, the best stuff that we can.
So I'd assume that you're pretty passionate about beer.
Love it, yeah.
Based on this.
I hope so.
Do you, and this is, I mean, obviously not like a hard-hitting question, but do you model yourself after Tony Aro at all, you think, at this point?
No. You know,
I mean, going from doing like a brew pub, an upscale brew pub, to then opening up a brewery is in some ways very similar.
It is, yeah, it is, it is. And I mean, obviously, like anyone that's doing this, but in this industry and doing it, I give them a lot of credit. And you definitely look to the people that have done it and respect what they've done. And, you know, everybody's trying to kind of etch their little legacy into this craft beer business. And for us, we literally just,
it's very similar.
My partner and I was at the Guava Berliner.
Yeah.
So Amy's, her kettle souring is so amazing. I've had so many kettle sour beers.
It's good, right?
I mean, she gets it as tart as you could possibly get it and it's a 2-day process, you know, to do that. But she
it's
does
not,
a great
it's not
job.
Obnoxiously tart.
There's no
beer
either.
No, it's very balanced.
And that glove is like you're biting into. Yeah.
If one of our beers had an off flavor, it would hit the tap handles.
That's really good.
Yeah, Amy was a winemaker up north. She's very, very. Before she was a brewer, she was, you know, being a winemaker taught her a lot. And she's very, very meticulous, which we love. And and if she doesn't like something, and it won't go on tap. You know, we have to dump it.
Wow.
That's the cool thing, is this has been like a really fun pilot thing. Once we get that thing fired up, then we could really start using this as a pilot system and really experiment. We're also going to turn it into a sour program, so we'll start souring out of this off this system. We'll probably use 2-3.5 for souring, and then we'll use the small guys for a lot of one-offs. Right, if we do a big batch of like a, you know, Berliner. Her Berliners have been so amazing. The guava one, she had the cranberry or orange zest peel one for Christmas was great. Her blueberry Berliner has been great. She's about to do an apricot goza. You guys haven't tried the hibiscus goza, but it's amazing too. The hibiscus goza is great.
Oh, someone else has a hibiscus goza.
So it's so good, yeah.
Why should I fight with this? Obviously, I just noticed you checking your watch.
No, you're fine.
But obviously, like, new place, kind of getting going, phone's ringing off the hook around here. As I was talking about Tony Aro, what's the expectation? Like, I'm going to assume you're in it for the long haul.
Yes.
You're trying to be part of the community.
Definitely.
You're trying to build that. Like, this isn't looking to sell to AB&B.
No.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like,
we opened Bread and Barley 4 years ago. And when we opened that, I knew I wanted to get into, you know, the brewery business. Opening a craft beer bar, we learned a lot about the industry, a lot of good stuff, but, you know, distributors and breweries. And I've been to, you know, over 50 breweries. I've talked to a lot of brewery owners and brewers, and we learned a lot. So it was like the best thing we could have ever done for the brewery was open Bread and Barley. And we opened our other Bread and Barley location 3 months, you know, 2 months ago in Encinitas. So now we're in San Diego County for the restaurant. But yeah, my goal with the brewery is just to keep growing, distribute our beer, get it out there. I'm definitely not doing this to sell one day. I love the community. I'm all in Covina. I'm also a Covina City Councilman, so I'm all in on the city. And you know, I love the loyalty that's out here. And you know, we you get to know your customers, you get to know the people that come out. And it's just a fun community to be a part of. And you know, people go to their office and their cubicles
most of the week, and we get to come here, so it's it's a lot of fun.
I like that it's a minimalist menu. Like, that makes it stand out for me. They only have four beers on tap. Like, that, I don't know. That's
so
just,
far.
Yeah.
Right?
So, sometimes
you could have more if you wanted.
Yeah.
Right?
But and sometimes we'll have beers up, and then it just, people will drink them, and then it's down to four. Once we, I don't like when breweries have, like, 20 different beers.
Right.
Up. So I will tell you, when the big system gets fired up, we will have more beers on tap, but it'll always be, like, 8 to 12. You know, we don't want to have too many beers on tap.
That's a good number to have.
Yeah, I think so. And you want to have a good, you know, a good...
Because like you said, you go to some places, it's like 20 different beers. It's like
it's
five of them all taste the same.
It's like the In-N-Out effect, right? It's a simple menu. You just do what you...
I really appreciate that a lot. Yeah. Which one's that?
That is the Happy Cow Milk Stout.
Nice.
Ooh. I really enjoy it. It's really super smooth.
Yes. I love that beer. Very balanced. So Yoho Maceo, we love that beer. Cool. That's named after my...
That's named after my son.
My son's name is Maceo, and he's, like, obsessed with pirates.
It's really smooth.
Like, so we did that one. You're going to get the coconut and the coffee out of that. I want to age that in rum barrels. Keep with that pirate theme. So I can't wait to age that in some rum barrels and have fun with that beer. So, we'll have our crowler machine in about a month and a half. We'll start about crowlering beers, and people can take crowlers out of here. And, I'm excited about it, It's a fun time to be in the business.
Well, I guess we'll... Lockout, what is it? Aero Lodge?
Yeah, Aero Lodge Brewery.
Covina?
Yes.
What was your name?
Victor.
Victor, the owner?
Yes. One of the owners. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys coming by.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nice to meet you guys.
Thank you.
We were just saying, when we get old and decrepit, we want to open our own retirement brewery.
That's where we've done enough R&D.
I'll tell you what, I mean, you can do it. It can be done for less. I mean, it's, you 75 to 100, you could do it. You just got to start. Little baby system, and it's a 1.5 barrel. It's not very big.
No.
So you start making beer, and if the product's good, you'll people will like it. You'll sell it, and you'll grow.
Are you working on getting barrels and stuff?
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we just haven't. We have to get like this other location in the same center ready. So once we get once that gets fired up, our grain rooms. We're gonna stop using it as a grain room. We have a grain room that we built in there, and we can start kind of getting that place ready to put barrels into. Yeah, because I really want to get the sour program going.
I'm in LA. He's in Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I'm in like the Mecca of beers.
Yes. We'll be at GABF this year.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Have you had Oscar Blues?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We've had it at the restaurant.
That's all I've been drinking lately.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had their Gubna.
Yeah, Gubna, yeah.
So good. Yeah. I had their Fugly.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a weird name.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
But
their pale is a solid beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Oscar Blues is legit. They've been here for a long time.
I like these little neighborhoods popping up outside of Los Angeles. Like, I saw the, what is it, Alosta?
Alosta, yeah, down the street.
Alosta's right there.
Yeah.
And it's like, it reminds me of Torrance. Like, how it's the beer muted Torrance,
yes.
All that people say. It's like, I love when you have these little neighborhoods where you can
This is called a Grand Circle, and what we're trying to, we'd like to see some wine tasting rooms come in here, distillery.
I don't know if you ever. I know you're talking about San Diego, but I don't know if you've ever been to the Mirilante area.
Yeah.
There's like Thunderhawk, which is like probably my favorite brewery on the planet. So if you guys were ever driving out to San Diego picking up kegs, and you got Thunderhawk, I would definitely be here to drink it. But they have that area in Mirilante that has two different wineries and the sake place and seven breweries. It's like, if you could get something like that here, it'd be great.
Yeah, because it'll just feed off the whole thing. Yeah.
That has a nice sound.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, you get coconut coffee.
It's a very nutty taste.
It's all fresh coconut.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's really good.
Yeah. Well, hey, guys. Good to meet you guys.
Nice to meet
you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank
I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
Good luck with everything, guys.
Yeah.
If you guys ever need anything, just reach out to me.
Cool, yeah. Well,
really good.
I love that one.
That's, really good. That's the best one. Their milk style is delicious, but that's the best one.
It's, yeah, I think it's probably the same base beer, but it's still good.
Yoho Maceo.
Cool.
See, that's...
I like their logo.
That's is that barrel aged?
See you later.
No.
See you later, Vic.
Oh, it's not. Oh, I thought it was.
It's just coconut and coffee. I like their logo, too.
The antlers and the hop face.
Compared to a lot of other breweries at this point, it's a little busy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of places are doing more of like a kind of, how do you put it, more like simple.
Yeah.
But this one, I like it looking a little bit more
Did you work the restaurant?
I did.
Where was it?
Throughout
the back.
There and to the left, yeah.
All right, cool.
Pale to
the
Key.
Good?
That went really good. Improv 2. Oh, yeah. This is the second leg in our Flight Academy. Tim and I have had some delicious beers, the Guava Berliner, the Pale of the King, the Yoho Maseo, and the Happy Cow Milk Stout. Yoho Maseo was a porter with coconut and klatch coffee, which was delicious. The Pale to the King was the pale ale. The Guava Berliner was a Berliner Weiss, obviously. What was your top beer for this place?
I loved the Guava Berliner.
It's really good, right?
And yeah, I liked it. It was super nicely balanced. The fruit was on point. The souring was just to the level of like getting a slight pucker, but no tannin really coming through.
Now, between the Yoho Maseo and the Happy Cow, since those are two darker beers, what was your favorite between those two?
Oh, the Yoho Maseo, obviously.
Coconut really...
The addition of the coconut and the coffee really added a lot to the flavor. Yeah. Like, an insane amount.
Are you going to use the restroom?
No, I just did.
Oh, you just did. Okay. Well, that was a quick little beer run here. I think we're about ready for takeoff.
Yes.
Let's put down the flaps and let's fly away. Yeah.